Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
So glad to be with you wherever you are in the world today, and we want to be remembering folks in prayer that are suffering for our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think I should mention this because we're thinking about the coming election, and we should be praying for this because this is a very serious situation for the United States. But I was reading in our local paper, The Plain Dealer, and they were asking the question about evangelicals citing and voting for Trump. And so they had some interesting articles and had different opinions to try to explain it. Well, I look at it this way. Hillary is Secretary of State, and right now they have given billions of dollars to Iran that is getting missiles that want to destroy Israel. And then not only that, they're bringing in thousands and thousands of people from these countries where these terrorists are. And you know, the Muslim terrorists right now, they're putting Christians in cages and drowning them. They're raping the ladies. They're crucifying people, bombing, shooting, killing, and just terrorizing many of these countries. So why would we want to bring more into our country? That's why we're taking this stand. I mean, why do they bring these folks in here? And after we had 9/11, for a long period of time under Bush, there was no terrorist attacks. There's been over 100 terrorist attacks right here in the United States recently. And if you bring thousands of people from this country, from those countries where the terrorists are, you're going to have it. And we've had over 100 attack American people. And Trump said that we ought to have a moratorium on bringing people in from these countries. That is temporary halt till things get settled. And so there's a lot of reasons why evangelicals take the position that they do. And then another thing is the administration sent out letters to school systems that they have to allow boys and girls or teenagers to have showers and be in the same locker room together. This is insanity, man. This is crazy. And so all of these things together, and then not only that, Hillary's been promoting sodomy and abortion right along. You know, so there's the terrorist reasons and all of these things. And that's, I think sometimes we need to explain this, and that's why this is a very, very serious election. And, you know, there's a book put out by Dick Morris, who is the advisor for Bill and Hillary, called Armageddon. And I'm telling you, every American ought to read this book. And when you get done, you wonder if these people are deliberately attempting to destroy America, because $50 billion every single year is being drained out of this country through bad trade agreements. $50 billion a year after year after year. And if that's not destroying the country, I don't know what is. See, so we usually don't talk about these things, but as Christians, it's very, very serious to us. We don't need to have people shooting us and bombing us and stabbing us in this country, and they're already doing it. You know, so why bring more here, which they're doing? And so I need to bring that up ahead of time. So we really need to pray about that and pray for all these Christians that are being murdered and killed and ladies raped and all of this stuff that's going on all over the world today. But the Lord sees. And I tell you something, once again, it's just a fulfillment of prophecy, and it shows that God knows the future and that the Bible is right, because God says he's going to reward those people that have their heads cut off for Jesus Christ, for the Word of God and for Jesus Christ. It's right in the book of Revelation. God knew it was going to happen, and people that have it happen to them are going to be rewarded by God. So God knows everything that's going on, and he allows it, because in many of these countries, Christianity, and which is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is growing. And the Bible teaches that Jesus is not only a prophet, but he is God himself. And this is taught from Genesis to Revelation. It is the most important teaching of the whole Bible. I'll give you an example. In Isaiah 9:6, written hundreds of years before Christ came, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the Son of God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And Jesus came as a lamb the first time, and they beat him, and he was punished for every sin. And if you're a Muslim, you don't have to have the angels punish you when you die, or you don't have to murder somebody to make sure you're going to heaven. Because I guarantee you, according to the Word of God, you murder somebody and you haven't repented and put your faith in Christ, you'll end up in the lake of fire. But if you put your faith in Jesus, God will even forgive you of that. And you can know that when you meet God, you'll meet him in joy, you'll meet him in perfection, you'll meet him, the Bible says, in joy. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He's paid for all of our sins. And it says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That means great, great joy it'll be when we meet Jesus face to face. And so that is the promise. And you can do that by faith. If you believe he died and he rose from the dead, and listen, Jesus says, I'm coming bodily and physically out of that tomb. You can go to the leaders of other religions and you can see their graves. I went to see the grave of the Baha'i faith, the leader up there on Mount Carmel, but I thought about 90 miles south of there, I went to see the grave where they put Jesus' body. And I'll tell you, I walked into that place and I saw the bed where they laid his body. And I saw the place where they crucified him, the place of the skull there behind the bus station. And I tell you what, I went in there and I saw the bed there and he wasn't there, and I knew it all along. Because he stayed on the earth after he bodily and physically rose from the dead. 40 people saw him alive and 500 saw him at one time. And those disciples and apostles of his that ran away like bunny rabbits when he was crucified to escape the Jesus' enemies, they came, and when they saw him rise from the dead, they looked, those guys that had responsible for the death of Jesus, right eyeball to eyeball, and said, you by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. But it was impossible for him to stay in the tomb. You know, I just thank God today. I'm getting near that time because I'm 75 years old, you know, and I think you can give your own experience. But, you know, the Bible says, for me, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. I can know that the second before the undertaker gets there and carries my dead body out, I'll be more alive than I've ever been, forever with Jesus. And what a wonderful promise, without any record that I've ever sinned. And this is just absolutely fantastic. And you know, we have a great and mighty God today. He's all powerful. And Jesus came out of that tomb and he stayed around for 40 days, and then 500 people saw him alive. And those people that were afraid after that, they were just fearless. And the ones that ran away just looked their eyeball to the people that tormented them and crucified Christ, and they said it was impossible. I like that statement. It was impossible for him to stay dead because he is the Lord of glory. And Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it again. Who in all of history could have said that? And not only that, Jesus proved it time after time. D.L. Moody said he went to see what Jesus did at a funeral, and he says Jesus when he went to a funeral, he turned it into a resurrection. And he's going to turn every person that's ever died that's put their faith in him, he's going to raise them from the dead. And so he's getting ready to come back. And you know, we said this, the fact that the United Nations, over and over again, they attack Israel, that's satanic. Other countries are cutting people's heads off and stoning them to death and torturing them. They never say a word about it, but the United Nuts in New York City, the UN, they can criticize Israel time after time after time after time. And, you know, I'll tell you what, the devil is pumping them up because they're going to get their armies and they're heading for Palestine in Israel. And when they get there, they're going to meet the Lord of glory. The Bible says, I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle in Zechariah, and the Lord himself shall return, and his feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives, which is outside of Jerusalem, Zechariah 14. And the Bible predicts this over and over again. When Jesus died, he stayed with them 40 days. He walked them to the Mount of Olives, and then he went up into heaven right while they were watching, and the angels came back and said, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. And the Bible says the first time he came as a lamb to be punished in our place. So you don't have to be punished. You don't have to murder anybody to get to heaven. You don't have to wait for the angels to beat you for your sins. You don't have to go to purgatory. There's no such place. Jesus' blood is powerful enough to pay the penalty for the vilest sinner. And he came back and he is landing there on the Mount of Olives. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And Zechariah says, I will pour out my spirit upon the house of David. And it's in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, or in the Tanakh. And I will pour out my spirit upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And God Almighty is speaking there. And he says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. It was God himself that took on a body in Bethlehem, Israel, and it was predicted all through the Bible. And he took on a body. He lived here for 33 years. He died on the cross. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, minister and give my life a ransom for many. God loves us so much, he wants us to be a part of his forever family and be with him forever in heaven. And so he says, his justice says, they must be punished for their sin. And every sin is going to be accounted for because his justice demands it. But his love says, I will take the punishment. And so he came out of heaven, took on a human body. King David, who is a prophet, says, a body hast thou made me, talking about God himself. And he took on a human body. And Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then the chapter says, he shall see his seed. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that is Christ's seed. And so you become an heir of Abraham, and God has promised all these promises. By the way, listen, if you are an Arab or you're a Palestinian living in Palestine today, and you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to inherit that land just as well as any Jewish person. And without Jesus, you as a Jew will not inherit the land. You say, well, that doesn't sound right. Well, listen, if you believe Moses and the prophets, you got to believe in Jesus. You know what Moses said? Cursed is everyone that confirmeth not to do according to all that is written in the book of the law. And so if you sinned one time according to the law of Moses, you were damned and you were cursed. But God provided a remedy, and at that time it was a lamb. And they would come and offer a lamb, and when they saw that lamb, it was called an atonement. A covering for sin was made. Never really was it taken away. But then in Isaiah 53, when Jesus, the Messiah, would come in the future, the sin would be taken away. And you know, when Jesus comes back in Zechariah, in the book of Zechariah, and you all ought to read that book, you know, it talks about the people seeing him. And when they see him, in that time, the armies of the world will have overrun Israel. And they will be crying out from their basements for Jesus to come back. And, you know, they're getting to know about him now. I thank God they allow Jewish people now tell people in Israel about Jesus on television now. And so they're hearing about him. And we have a good Jewish audience listening to this program right in Israel. And I know because they contact me, you know, and so I know that they're listening. You all are listening out there. When Jesus comes back in Zechariah, they shall look upon me, and you'll see that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says there is a fountain open for sin, and that fountain is blood. And Moses said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the blood of bulls and goats, they just covered it. But the blood of Jesus Christ, it takes away our sins and pays for all of our sins. And you know, on the great day of atonement, that will, it's a picture of that day when they meet Jesus. The high priest went into the temple. He sprinkled the blood of the goat on the mercy seat in the temple. But there's a greater holy of holies than the temple that they had in Jerusalem. That's the holy of holies, the Kodesh HaKodeshim in heaven. And in heaven, there is the holy of holies, and there's the mercy seat in heaven. And the blood has already been sprinkled. Jesus took his blood into heaven, the blood of God. The Bible says, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. And it's there today saying that this payment for sin has been made. And you know, the high priest, when he came out of that temple, that meant that God had accepted the sacrifice. And when Jesus comes out of the temple in heaven, praise the Lord, when he comes out of that temple and Israel sees him on the Mount of Olives, as it's predicted in the Word of God, on that day, the Bible says it will be a sign and evidence that God has accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, and all Israel will be saved at that time. In the book of Israel, in the book of Romans, it says all Israel will be saved at that time. But those are the ones that put their faith in Christ. They'll put their faith that time. And today you need to put your faith in the Lord. If you're not around when that happens, you don't put your faith, you won't make it in, because it's the blood of Jesus that does it. And these people, you know, that say that God is through with Israel, it's just they don't believe the Bible. They just don't believe what God said. That's it. We got people, religion today, they don't believe what God said. You know, Jesus Christ is so connected with the Bible. You just see this over and over and over. He's called the Word of God. And you know, the Bible says the words of the Lord endure forever, and the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them forever. The reason that Jesus is outside the Laodicean church knocking on the door is because his words are outside. And when his words are outside, he's outside. You can't separate that. And his words are in the King James Bible. I was going to give the history, and I probably won't get through all of it today, you know, but of my own testimony as I came to understand that the King James Bible was the Word of God. But as I began to read it, I started to, I read it 100 times, the New Testament. And one day I started my search, and I went to a seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana, because the pastor that I had gone there, and he had always talked about the Greek. And so I went there because I thought they had a well-known Greek department. And when I went to the seminary, I went to the Greek professor and asked him about Greek texts. And so he gave me a paper at that time. That's how I started. And so I read the paper, and I didn't totally understand it at the time. It was new to me, the study of textual history. But in that paper, it was criticizing a guy named a guy from Princeton University named Hills. And he says, there's nowhere in the Bible that God said he would preserve his words. Now, strangely enough, I never remembered anybody ever preaching that to me. They probably did, but I didn't remember it. But I'd read the New Testament 100 times through. As soon as I read that, I said, why, verse after verse after verse just popped right into my head. And I said, this guy is wrong. And then I thought, this is amazing. God said he would preserve his words. It's the first time that I ever thought that or ever remember thinking such a thing. And it was just verse after verse. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. The word of God is true from the beginning, endureth forever. And it just goes on and on. And so I read that. And then I said, well, God said he'd preserve his words. Well, I was invited to teach in a Bible institute at that time. And so the first thing they asked me to teach is church history. So I went around looking for books on church history. I started to study it. And buy every book that I could and begin to read and study those books. And as I read it, I came upon a book called God Wrote Only One Bible. And in this book, you could read graphs and you could compare different translations. And so one of the translations that I compared was the New ASV and plus a lot of other translations. And I compared them together, and I compared one with the New World Translation with the King James and the New World Translation and the New ASV, among many others. And here I found that basically the New American Standard, and I had heard people talk against the New World Translation, which is the official Jehovah's Witness translation, basically was the same thing. And so I thought, wow, it was a different translation, but it came from the same text. You see, today, what they're deceiving people, they're talking about the Greek text all the time, and they put out version after version. They don't come from the same source. Our time's almost up, but I've said this many, many times. So I found out there's different texts that have come down to us. And in museums today, there's 300 ancient Bibles that back up the King James Bible, basically. They found it in the ancient manuscripts, it's over 99%. You have the Gothic text, that many of the words in the King James come from the Gothic, and some of the history books say it came translated by Theophilus 335, but it may come out before that. The old italic text, the old Latin, long before the Vulgate that came out. The Koine Greek text, Syriac Peshitta text. These texts back up the King James Bible, and they were preserved by God through Bible-believing Christians. And as I read, I read many different scripture verses. For instance, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow." I realized every revival that takes place always takes place through the King James. You praying for revival, and you're using a corrupt Bible, God's not going to give it to you. There's no time in history that he ever did. And so everyone takes place, and Whitfield comes over, uses the King James, and brings the King James over and preaches out of it. And then revival after revival takes place. Finney used it. He says, "I don't believe I'm qualified to correct it." Talmage, the great preacher, a lot of you use his sermons. You know, he had people saved and God blessed him and used them. He said it's a perfect translation. Billy Sunday said scholars that disagree with it can go plumb to the devil. And you know, at that time, Moody went to Westcott and Hort. They introduced the corrupt text of Origen, and then Origen, it was passed on through Eusebius to Constantine. It was Constantine's Bibles, and Westcott and Hort introduced it, and it's a corrupt text from Alexandria, Egypt. God says, don't go to Alexandria. You see, textual criticism doesn't come from so-called scientific textual criticism. When I read it, it makes me laugh. Somebody just set up these sentences so that they all point to the Pope's Vatican Bible, which comes from Constantine. And it's just ridiculous, you know, I mean, and they call it science, and somebody says it's science and scholarship, and with that, the whole herd snorts three times and runs violently over the cliff. It's nonsense. But all of these manuscripts come down, so I look and I see, so Finney uses it, and then Billy Sunday uses it, and every evangelist that God has tremendously blessed used that particular text. But even before that, you have Peter Waldo. And you know, in time of Trismegistus, they had an ecumenical movement, and they united the ancient religion of Rome with Christianity, and Roman Catholicism was born. And so at that time, the apostolic churches that didn't agree, like Antioch at that time, and Novatian, and Donatists, and these men, they continue to preach the word of God. That's where the Baptists came from. And all through the Dark Ages, people were called the Waldensians and Albigensians and so on. They were copying the scripture, and they were very careful about it when they copied it. And today, God has used those copies that were copied by martyrs, and the Roman church tried to destroy it. And we have it today in the Word of God. The Bible says, I can look at the perfect law of liberty. My Bible is perfect. The Bible says we can handle it, the Word of God. If it's the Word of God, it's true, it's perfect, it's inspired, it's holy. It's not just a translation. You know, the Bible says, I thank God when you received the words of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the Word of God. And thank the Lord today we have the true word of God. And that's what this is all about. Don't let anybody deceive you. You go to seminary. There's a lot of books that we advertise and we have we have it on our display here website. And they're excellent books that you can read and study. And God will use those and will defend the authorized King James Bible. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.